Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you for spending this time with us. We're going to begin our show with a wonderful little devotion out of the book called Sweet Tea for the Soul, Down Home Devotions to Comfort the Heart. And I pray that it will comfort your heart today. The title of our devotion is Splish Splash. Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." John 13:10. Most kids don't like baths, but that crust of dirt behind their ears and remnants of moon pie swiped across an arm are begging for one. On their way to the rub-a-dub tub, mothers tell their kids like it is. Wash up as far as possible, wash down as far as possible, and then wash possible. Now, even after a shower or bath, the moments one's feet hit the floor, they come into contact with the dust and dirt of the world. Believers are cleansed once and for all by the blood of Christ, but our minds need to be cleansed daily and renewed by diving into God's Word. Romans 12:2. And here's our faith check. Your mind, character, and attitude are revitalized, nourished, cleansed, purified, and sanitized by studying God's Word daily. Sort of a spiritual bath without the rubber ducky. And here are some bathroom rules. If it's up, put it down. If it's on, turn it off. If it's dirty, clean it. If you're taking a long time, hurry up. Very good. Well, we have so many prayer requests. Our world is such a hurting world, and I just pray for those families who just really, they just don't know where to turn. And I can only tell them, pray, or I'm praying for you, which doesn't always sound so, might sound like I'm just doing a platitude, but I really believe that prayer is the answer to everything. So here is a request from Lewis. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm struggling so much with everything and really don't want to carry on. I just don't have the strength anymore. My wife does not even come and see her kids, which hurts me so much. She chooses her friends over her family. I don't think this pain will ever go away. I really have come to the end feeling so sad. And I just want to remind you that as we pray for this situation, it's not just you who are struggling. You have to be there for your children. And it's so easy to succumb to your own grief over the loss that you don't provide the emotional support your children need. So please, as we pray, let's also pray for you, Lewis, that you will have that God-given, it doesn't come from our humanity, but that God-given peace that passes understanding. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today we hold up Lewis and others that are going through this, but maybe didn't have the time or opportunity to ask to be prayed for on air. But we pray for Lewis and his family and for his children. Lord, just give him the peace that passes understanding. Nourish him with your love that he may love his children and be with his children too. Be arms around them. This is a hurtful time, and we ask for your sustaining power in that. We thank you for hearing our prayer, and we just pray for each of our listeners that the show today will bless them. All this I pray in thy holy name, amen. Ta-da! It's our Arts and Crafts Corner, and I just want to remind you that coming down in the second half of the show, we're going to again interview someone we've interviewed before, and that is the Waters. They have a restoration ministry, and it's just for relationships. And I think I get more prayer requests for relationships. And when I think of even my own struggles at work, it's always relationships. The work isn't hard, it's the relationship. So this is good information that all of us can benefit from. For our art and craft corner today, we're going to talk about paper sculpture. And I've done the mistake where I've just taken a bunch of scraps of paper and said, today we're going to do paper sculpture, just do anything you want to. But let's provide our children with certain techniques. So the first step before you do a 3D paper sculpture is to show students all the different techniques. And so I like to do this with a bunch of scraps of colored paper and then maybe a big piece of black poster board. And we are going to think up different techniques. So they should come up with things like the roll, where you would roll the paper into a circle and then label it, roll. This is a technique for paper sculpture. Then there might be a loop, which is similar to a roll, but it hooks together at both ends and forms a loop. And then title it loop. This can interface with your reading. So now they've learned roll, loop, and curl. Curl is similar, except no ends are connected and the paper just can curl. You can curl it around a pencil or a dowel. And tabs. Tabs are very important because that's a way to connect one item of your paper sculpture to the next. So let's make different types of tabs and label it tabs. Even a very young reader can learn these words. And then you have your fringes. And so there can be short fringes, wide fringes, long fringes. And once you have the basic fringe, you can actually curl the fringe, or you can kind of crimp it and make it look like pleats. So that leads to fringe, curled fringe, pleated fringe, and then just a plain pleat. So that those are all things that you could add to your big piece of black poster board, which will become something that you'll hang in your learning area for them to look at when they're working on different ways to do paper sculpturing. Next might be cutting on a fold, and that's always fun to do. And then spiral. So you could start with a circle and spiral it around. Then you could start with a triangle, spiral it. You could start with a square and spiral it. So you'd have variations on each of these categories. So you have cutting on a fold, you have cutting on a triangular prism, you have spiral on a triangle, spiral on a square, spiral on a circle, and then cones. Cones add a lot of dimension to paper sculpting. So you have little cones, big cones, tall cones, wide cones. Very interesting. And don't forget the last category of different types of prisms. So you would have your rectangular, your square prism, and it's really for those that might be older students learning geometry, you would have many more prisms that you could incorporate in your paper sculpture. And then you have slits and slots, because we like to figure out ways of connecting our paper. That's one of the ways. And then crimper, if you have any tools from working with photo albums and things like that, you might have a crimper, and paper really is cool when it's crimped. And then talk about scoring the paper and folding it in different ways. So you'll provide the mini tools that first lesson and how you're going to do combine those to make your 3D paper sculptures. I hope you have a lot of fun. I look forward to having some people post it on our homeschool Facebook page. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Homeschool Companion, or look up me, Rose Gamblin, and you'll find it there. For our curriculum corner, we're going to discuss Sunlight Curriculum. And we've interviewed the owner of Sunlight Curriculum before. We probably need to interview them again, but I like to recommend them as an all-in-one program. It was started by homeschooling families that wanted to provide the best materials at a reasonable cost for families living overseas as missionaries. Great reason to start a program, don't you think? They base it on the philosophy of Dr. Ruth Beechek and also on Charlotte Mason's idea. So they wanted it to include real books and also be flexible and maximize real life learning. They also wanted the program to not require too much from busy parents. So it's an all-in-one, which means it includes everything. It's comprehensive, it's grade and age level, and then it also allows some flexibility. All guides, whether for the core package or individual subject areas, include week-by-week lesson plans, record-keeping calendars, thorough instruction, student activity sheets, answer keys, and a lot more. The easy-to-use guides I love, and I think it's an important feature of Sunlight. Sunlight is spelled S-O-N-L-I-G-H-T, curriculum. And it includes some features that you probably have already used, but didn't know it was originated or adopted by Sunlight. They also have a website that offers a number of free resources like webinars, podcasts, and more. So for an all-in-one package, I recommend Sunlight. I'm also going to feature other ones. I know that there has been some spinoff of Sunlight, and the name of the spinoff is something to do with sharks. I think it's called Book Shark. And so I hated to talk about Book Shark. I just went back and talked about something I'm very familiar with. But Book Shark is an updated version of what Sunlight did. I guess they had some workers there that said, hey, this is a cool idea. And so they have tried to improve upon it. So Book Shark is now available too. You can go to Book Shark Home Education. Book Shark Home Education and look at what they have, or you can go to Sunlight's curriculum and see what they have and see if they aren't a bit familiar. Anyway, that concludes our curriculum corner. I hope you stay tuned for the second half of the show, where we're going to talk to the Waters about rebuilding relationships.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
I'm talking with Tom and Elaine Waters. Their website is restoration-international.org, and they are experts in the field of relationship, using their own relationship as a springboard. And we were just talking about that all too familiar scenario. I mean, it can work both ways. I've seen it where the husband is asking the wife and she doesn't have anything to say, and then, you know, her sister or somebody calls and she can be all animated. How do you get out of that spiral? That really starts as a negative spiral.
That's right. And we call that the fatal cycle.
The fatal cycle. Okay.
Most people probably know that the breakdown in communication in marriage is the leading cause of separation and divorce. Nothing comes close to it. Finances is number two. That breakdown happens because we are self-focused. We are not thinking about the love of our life, the one we said we wanted to spend our life with more than any person on the earth. We're thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about our focus. And then somebody else pops into the conversation, like my good friend, and we suddenly seem to have all the time in the world. That will not change. Well, you can share what you shared that night.
Well, I think it's important here. And, you know, as we look back to the Word of God, God is very practical. And there's many scriptures that we know, but we don't really apply them to our day-to-day life. One of those scriptures is, do unto others what you'd have them do unto you. We know it is a golden rule. Even non-Christians know the golden rule, mm-hmm. Right? Be nice to the people the way you want people to be nice to you. And that night, I didn't practice that principle, sad to say, but I did communicate to my husband that I was very disappointed and very hurt and felt very alone because I kept being set aside for what he thought was more important in the moment. So I didn't feel valuable or precious in his sight. But how we've learned to work through that, because he was receptive to hear that. He wasn't trying to be mean to me. And so often we as wives, we assign some, you know, ulterior motive and we assign it to them and then it just goes from bad to worse. But recognizing when we have those kind of encounters, instead of responding back with frustration, hurt, anger, however our normal response would be, say, okay, I know that he is busy. I know that he does love me. And so now I can say these things to him, catch his attention, and say it in a way that entreats him to hear my heart.
Mm-hmm. It's very difficult in a short segment of time, but if your listeners want to go to the website, we have hours of marriage material that deal with how we turn our malfunctions into miracles, because every couple has a cycle of malfunction. For us, the simplest way we say it is we move from the me focus, which means life revolves around me, my perspective, my way. You want to make me happy? Do it my way. That's self. That's the me focus. We prayerfully move from the me focus to the us focus. We've lived together 37 years in marriage, and the first couple of years we had some really tough things. But we've been living in the us focus. We always have the choice to go back to the me focus, which is selfish, but we love living in the us focus, and we are in love. Our license plate says we're in love. And when people drive by sometimes, they think there's going to be a 25 or 30-year-old couple in the car, but we're 60 and we're love grows.
That's right. It gets better all the time.
Yeah, so now, you know, he's shared a very vulnerable experience where he was in the wrong. Share something where you were in the wrong. You know, wives are never in the wrong, right?
Oh, I wish I could say that, but it's not true. My greatest weakness, and I think it's for many wives, we put on our children, on our husband, expectations, and we make assumptions about them, and we don't communicate clearly. Then when they don't meet those expectations, we are offended, we're hurt, we're upset, we're frustrated. And for me, some of my greatest challenges early in our marriage was I had two ways to respond. Either I would just turn my head and walk away, and it wasn't a golden silence. It was a silence of, I am not going to speak to you. I'm not going to look at you. I'm not going to be around you. In other words, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. So we cut them off, which is, you know, there's nothing about healing in that. Or secondly, my other default mode, my other me mode would be, you know, come on very strong and start criticizing and raising my voice and, you know, telling him all the areas that he is messed up in, he's whatever, and that I am so frustrated with him. That is very demeaning to him, and it comes from a focus that's all about myself. It's not about us. It's not about him. It's just about I am bugged by what he's doing, so he's going to have to pay for that. So my attitude, my demeanor, my words can be harsh and sharp.
Now, is it possible for one spouse to be us-focused and the other one to remain me-focused?
It is possible, and we've done, you know, lots and lots of counseling over the years. If only one is willing to move away from the me focus, we have watched the transformation of grace working in that marriage. And in most cases, although there's a testing time, is this real? Have you really changed, or are you trying to impress me? But over time, we've seen the other spouse come into saying, wow, the way you're treating me, I don't even deserve this. Maybe I ought to move into the us focus. It's obviously better if it's happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. Couples that we've dealt with, including our own experience, when we both agree to start experiencing mutuality in the marriage with Christ, it is amazing how quickly we can turn dysfunction into miracles. If it's only one, it does take longer, but it's still does work. Never force, But usually the other partner will come on board to say, you know, having a happy home is much better than the contention we've been having.
Yeah, amen. You know, we're just going through this time so quickly. I wanted to get to a little bit about the powerful potential of homeschool. That is the title of one of your books. What prompted you to write that book?
Recognizing in our own lives that we wanted to take a serious look at our children's education. And we were kind of early pioneers in the homeschooling because in most states it was illegal to do when we had this burden to begin. And what inspired us to do that was knowing there were no resources out there for us when we started and knowing that it's very intimidating for parents, especially the mom, because in most cases it is the mother who's the primary teacher, to take on that role if that's not our background. My background is intensive care nursing, so I'm not a teacher. But recognizing that we can begin where we are and God will help us. So that book was designed to show that there are practical steps we can take. First of all, we have to have a clear purpose and direction. Why are we doing this? What's the outcome we want to see? And then how to plan for that, how to prepare for that, and then how to roll it out. There's a lot about schedules. We have a number of people who contributed their family dynamics, a little bit of background from their families, and then how they rolled out a schedule for themselves that worked in their home. That's very important to be successful. And then to let people know the outcome of that, because we homeschooled for nearly 20 years over the course of three children. And to see where God took them with that, I no longer was intimidated that my children were going to be, you know, illiterate and socially inept. But to see, wow, they have exceeded far above what we even realized their talents, where they lied, and what they could do with those.
Yeah, I mean, now our baby is 31 years old, you know, and they're all entrepreneurial, and that was never a part of our educational process. But that's what happened because they're self-motivated.
Yeah.
And so, you know, our son started his own aviation company. Our oldest daughter started her own massage therapy practice, thriving practice. And our middle daughter, she's a linguist, and she started her own interpreting contracting business. And just to see that we never pushed any of them in that direction, but to see how motivated they were when they were, you know, taught how to process, not just, you know, given. In other words, we expand their mind that there's limitless possibilities out there, that you don't just have to, you know, get to the 12th grade and stop or go to the four-year college.
And I think that families that homeschool really need to take to heart that the mom and dad have to be united. It has to be an us focus to really have the best homeschool.
Because right.
If that child is staying in a fomenting environment, it really inhibits even the learning, or an absent parent environment. It really does go together. So the two titles, For Better or For Best, and The Powerful Potential of Homeschooling, is huge. I hope everyone goes to your website, restoration-international.org. Thank you so much for being with me. I mean, the time is up and it went by very fast.
Too quick.
Yeah. And I have one last thing to say, and that's God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.